WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Texas, at least 119 have died in the floods, and the search continues for more than 170 others missing. A local government official tells ABC News Kerrville Area River Authority had approved a contract last month for a flood warning system to help with emergency response along the Guadalupe River.
They planned a, quote, kickoff meeting for mid-July, we're told, and approved $73,000 for a company to develop a flood warning system in Kerr County. It was not for sirens or a system to warn the public directly, but a dashboard to allow emergency managers to view real-time stream flow and rainfall data. Alex Stone, ABC News.
In New Mexico, at least three people died last night after a storm triggered historic flooding in a village that was scarred by last year's wildfires. President Trump posted new tariff letters on social media warning a half dozen countries, including Algeria, Iraq, and the Philippines. Tariff rates will go up on August 1st if they don't finalize a deal. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Members of Wisconsin's Urban Search and Rescue Task Force have been deployed to Texas to assist with search efforts following severe flooding. Five members of Wisconsin's Task Force 1 departed for Texas on Tuesday with three canines, specialized search equipment, and medical supplies. The Texas Division of Emergency Management requested assistance for 2 weeks, which could be shortened or lengthened based on need during the search operation. There were still over 150 people missing as a result of the flooding when the task force departed. The universities of Wisconsin could raise their undergraduate tuition for state residents this week. The new plan released on Tuesday would cover a 4% increase in tuition across the entire system and allow individual schools to add another 1% to their tuition rates. Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman says every school except UW-Green Bay plans to add the extra 1%. Under the increase, campuses in the Northwest Wisconsin region would see tuition range from $9,200 in Superior to over $10,000 in Eau Claire. Governor Tony Evers visited Superior on Tuesday to see construction work on a lead pipe replacement project days after signing a bill allowing the city's utility provider to access federal funding. Superior Water, Light and Power is the only privately owned water utility serving a city in the state, which limited their ability to access the Safe Drinking Water Loan Program for infrastructure projects. Mayor Jim Payne says the additional funding will allow the utility to replace harmful lead service pipes across the city over the next 2 years at no cost to local residents. The Polk County Health Department has issued a swimming advisory at South Twin Beach due to high levels of bacteria in the last 2 weeks of June. According to a press release, the swimming advisory will remain in effect until consecutive weeks of testing show the bacteria levels have returned to acceptable levels. Swimming in water with high bacteria levels can lead to some minor illnesses like eye infections or stomach issues. The Polk County Health Department is reminding residents to be cautious when swimming at any beach, especially after heavy rain. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
A win for the Miz and McGill. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Dodgers wrap up their series this afternoon in Milwaukee. Last night, the Miz, rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski, followed by Jared Koenig, Abner Uribe, and closer Trevor McGill, held the struggling Dodgers to just one run in a 3-1 win over LA last night. It was enough to leave the Dodgers' Clayton Kershaw at a loss for words.
I mean, the three guys that came out of the pen for them, plus him, I mean, I don't think we saw a fastball under 98 today as a team. I mean, this was just a tough game.
The Dodgers have now lost five in a row. The Brewers' Mizorowski gave up a solo home run to LA's leadoff batter, Shohei Ohtani, then proceeded to strike out 12 Dodger batters over six innings to beat the three-time Cy Young winner, Clayton Kershaw. I spoke to the Miz after the game.
You know, I saw something online that he didn't know who I was, so I hope that he knows me now, you know. It's kind of cool.
That's Brewers pitcher Jacob Mizorowski. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, slight storm chance, low 60s. For tomorrow, more humid, partly sunny, isolated storms, muggy highs in the low 80s. Near 80 Friday, scattered storms. Dry and pleasant as we look into the upcoming weekend. Currently at 79.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Supreme Court says the Trump administration can fire as many federal workers as it wants. Jim Santel will join us to talk about that. Plus, Brittany Merlot and Weather and Wine.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
It is this moment right now, and we need people that have wealth and access to step the hell up.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
We can't take this as a country to have a leader who is so ill-informed and we look terrible.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
You got a bad sandwich at your favorite deli. What do you do about it? We can talk about whatever you want to sound off on.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. And happy hump day to each and every one of you. I'm Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. As ever and always, we've got a stacked show for you this afternoon, but let me start with some breaking news. The Supreme Court, and yet another, quote, decision out of their shadow docket this afternoon, a small bit of good news. The Supreme Court refusing to revive a Florida law that would have permitted state officials from pursuing criminal charges against unauthorized immigrants in the state of Florida. You may ask, well, why can't they? Because immigration is a federal matter, not a state matter. So, at least in this one case, the Supreme Court doing hopefully what we all thought they should have. But as ever and always, stay tuned because they still have plenty of time to screw it up royally. That bit of breaking news just over the past hour or so. But we've got a great show. Let's give you the lineup this afternoon. We're going to start out with an incredible guest. We're going to be talking about Wisconsin farmers in just a moment. And the top of the 5 o'clock hour, I'll be joined by Sally Flores. She is a DACA recipient, and she is also the organizing director of the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition. I've heard her speak before, and talking to someone who experienced this last election cycle and Donald Trump's attacks on immigrants, who are also the lifeblood of our farming communities here in the state of Wisconsin, personally, about what that is actually like for her and her family. She recently traveled back to Mexico to visit with her parents. She's going to share some of those experiences with us. You're not going to want to miss that at 5. At 5:30, I will be discussing breaking news earlier this morning reported by the Journal Sentinel and other outlets across the state that apparently the Madison City clerk did nothing about 200 approximate absentee ballots. We'll get into that, why that's so appalling, and what the hell was going on in the city of Madison. Very disturbing news. It wasn't just the city clerk. It was her deputy elections official as well who did nothing. Maybe one person has a brain fart, but two? Oh, my goodness. We're going to talk about that at 5:30. And the Brewers are still in action right now in this hour. I was at the game last night. We're going to finish off today's show with me sharing some of my joy about the Milwaukee Brewers, specifically the Miz. Who is this kid? Oh, my goodness. 12 strikeouts in 5 innings, setting a Major League Baseball record. No pitcher has done that in the era of modern pitch tracking since 2008. We'll discuss more before the closeout of the show. But right now, I'm so excited to have with me State Senator Brad Paff. He is the guy in our state house on farming. Senator, it's such a pleasure to have you with us. Thanks for making time.
Well, Maggie, thank you for having me, and congratulations to you. I saw the Miz pitch 2 weeks ago in Milwaukee on a Wednesday. It was lacrosse day at American Family Field, and the Miz beat the big ace that the Pittsburgh Pirates put out on the mound. And I'll tell you, there was 900 people that came down from lacrosse for lacrosse day at American Family Park, and we saw a great game. And I'm telling you, I am excited about Brewer baseball as well. So,
Brad, you can come back anytime and talk Brewers baseball with me. Man. That pitching outing for the Miz against Skeens from the Pirates was absolutely top-notch. He had a bit of a stumble with the Mets. I think everybody was looking, hey, he's going to be on the national stage last night. Everybody was tuned in. Former national champions coming off of last season. That Ohtani home run, first batter he faced, and the fact that he battled back, it was super impressive. I love that you love some baseball. Next time you're
I love it. I'll tell you. Let's hear it for Sal Frelick at the bottom of the eighth. He comes up there and gives that extra run for us. 3-1. We get that cushion.
Yeah, that insurance run. Listen, little Sal Frelick, first of all, he wears short pants, which I love. Second of all, I can basically put him in my pocket. I'm a 6-footer. So, what is not to love about hardworking Sal Frelick? Listen, the next time you're in town, Senator, Let's hear it. Civic Media know. We'll have a little cookout, if you will. I think they call them tailgates outside of AmFam.
They do call them tailgates. And I'll tell you, we will get to the show, because the thing is, the Brewers, I love the name of the Brewers because it goes back to the roots of what Milwaukee is, and that is a brewing capital of this nation. And the thing is, it brings the grains, the hops, and the barley. Yes. It all brings it all together. And of course, those come from our family farms. And I am very proud of all of that. But yes, the Brewers, I believe, are in a pennant hunt. I want them to go on a buyer's market and actually be proactive when it comes to trades, because I think we can give the Dodgers a run for the money when it comes to the NL pennant. And, let's go.
Senator, there's so much about what you're saying that I think, and I talk about this a lot. Baseball to me is a bit of a foil. Not just for Milwaukee as a hardworking city, but for Wisconsin, for the reasons that you are articulating. And boy, sir, you can do radio, because that was exactly the right pivot from breweries to the grains to our family farms. And that, to me, the hardworking nature of the Brewers franchise throughout its history, right? Always a bridesmaid, never a bride when it comes to the World Series. And I think that spirit of fight in our family farms and across the state of Wisconsin continues to this day. Sir, you have done quite a bit for farmers. You come from a farming background. You're from La Crosse County. You represent the proud 32nd State Senate District. You've done so since 2021. Let's talk a little bit about a few of the bills that you've introduced this year. I want to start with the most recent one, because it's so incredibly important in light of what's going on federally. It is the Agricultural Purchase Program. Tell folks a little bit about it.
Well, first of all, I want to say this, and I appreciate it very much, Maggie, for the opportunity to be here. We hear an awful lot about the fact that, rural America is leaning red, and that we as Democrats have lost focus and touch when it comes to rural America. Well, I want to say, first of all, that's not the case. And don't paint us all with a broad, broad brush. I do believe that we need to continue to focus our message. And I do firmly believe, Maggie, that all politics is local. And so I appreciate you brought up the fact that I am very proud of my farm roots and from the rolling hills, coulees, and valleys of northern La Crosse County, and to represent this region in the state Senate. And this is a proud agriculture district. And the point is this, is that it is the grains that are grown in our farm fields, and is the milk that is produced in our dairy barns that pays the bills for a vast majority of a number of people in this state. And agriculture provides $116 billion of annual economic impact to this state. One out of every 10 people in this state are employed in some form of agriculture. So that is so very important. And we do need to be able to connect the dots of how that has an impact when it comes to public policy and when it comes, it has an impact when it comes to making sure that we continue to move this state forward in a way that, you know, benefits all of us. And so I did introduce legislation that, again, links consumers with our family farmers. It recognizes that this piece of legislation that was jammed through Congress last week is going to have an impact, and I would say a negative impact, on too many individuals that, through no fault of their own, are seeking food assistance at different times in their life. And so what this piece of legislation does is very simple. It provides grants to the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, and then the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture would work with local food organizations in order to provide financial assistance. And those local food organizations then would contract directly with local farmers to receive the bring in the food that they seek. May it be meats, may it be milk, may it be cheeses, may it be maple syrup, whatever it may be. And so, again, it is trying to broaden out the supply chain as far as with agriculture. And at the same time, it's linking family farmers with consumers. And I think that is so very important. And what it's also doing is it recognizes during when there are challenges and dips in the marketplace and people are down on their luck, that we're just not throwing people to the street. We're recognizing the fact in a wealthy nation and a state like Wisconsin that grows food, we want to make sure that we can feed our neighbors.
Folks, if you're just joining us, I'm joined this half hour by Senator Brad Pfaff of the 32nd State Senate District. He has introduced three key pieces of legislation this cycle to help support Wisconsin farmers and families. People, because we have been rightly focused on the big, brutal bill, as well as the state's biennial budget, people forget that one of the first things that Donald Trump did was cut all kinds of aid programs willy-nilly through executive orders, and it ended up immediately hurting Wisconsin farmers because we literally had food rotting in storage houses, not getting to the people that need the food. Read some reports of very acute impacts in Door County and in counties across the state. So again, this most recent bill is called the Agricultural Purchase Program. It's a bill to establish a $30 million fund within the Department of Agriculture, again, to make sure that families in need of emergency food assistance in the state get it, and that they get that food assistance from our family farms. The other key piece, and as soon as I started to read about this, I got so ticked off, Senator. And this is the Right to Repair bill, which you introduced in February of 2025. Anyone who's had the fortune, I will say, the sort of modern problem of owning a foreign car and going to try to get it repaired, and they're like, yeah, it's this little piece that we're going to have to wait 3 months for, and it's going to cost you. Tell us what the Right to Repair bill is, and we got about a minute. We'll come back on the other side if you can spare me another segment, sir, so that folks know what this is about. But very briefly, what's the Right to Repair bill about?
It allows a farmer to fix their tractor or their combine or any farm equipment that they own on by themselves. Can you imagine you spend $150,000 to buy a tractor and you cannot fix it? And you are in the middle of harvesting corn or baling hay, it is just absolutely wrong. This is a monopolistic practice by the big farm equipment dealers, and we've got to stop this. And I am proud to introduce this legislation, and I need help getting it across the finish line.
Folks, again, that is State Senator Brad Pfaff. The Right to Repair bill introduced in February 2025. We'll put a link to both the bill and some of the coverage about this because I think it's so critical. John Deere basically has established a monopoly, and it forces folks that purchase this incredibly expensive equipment that you basically cannot compete in a marketplace without these days to go through Deere for any sort of repair. And it is both crippling in terms of cost and time, especially during planting and harvest times. Folks, we're going to continue this conversation because this is where it's at. And one of the things that I want to talk to the state senator about on the other side is the consolidation that we have seen in agribusiness across the country over the last couple of decades. What's that doing to prices? What is that doing to the family farm here in Wisconsin? So, folks, you're going to want to stay tuned. We've got more with the state senator. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hands a big win to the environment. The court ruled it's unconstitutional for a legislative committee to block rules created by state agencies. The decision means good environmental rules now face an easier path to getting to the finish line and becoming law. For years, legislative vetoes by a handful of legislators stymied a long list of environmental protections. After more than 30 years, the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program is going unfunded. Money for the legacy program was stripped out of the budget by the Joint Committee on Finance. The program helps preserve our state's wildlife areas and fisheries through land purchases and grants. Now that the budget has been signed, it's unclear how the vital program will continue, although there is talk of a standalone bill that would revive it. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
We are the National Park Foundation. And together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining me. I'm your host, Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation. We've got one of those great conversations going on right now. And if you don't want to miss anything that happens, if you're sitting listening to your radio or on your smart speaker, and you're thinking, what happens during those breaks? Do they continue to have conversations? Of course we do, because that's the fun stuff. You can always watch the Civic Media YouTube channel. You can tune in at Maggie Dawn Show on Facebook, on Instagram, you know, all the socials, and check out me and my guests chit-chatting during the breaks. And this one, unsurprisingly, was about baseball. But let's get back to farming. We've got State Senator Brad Pfaff from the great 32nd State Senate District in La Crosse County, Wisconsin.
That's right.
You're from a farming background. I wanted to talk to you about consolidation across basically every subsector of the agricultural industry in the nation. And this, the reason that this is incredibly important for people is not just how it impacts your pocketbook, because as consolidation occurs, which means fewer companies control a greater percentage of the entire flow of business within a particular sector, it means that they can, without even getting in a room and agreeing about it, effectively push prices up. They can exert all kinds of anti-competitive behaviors. They can push out family farms. This is the phenomena of, hey, do you miss your local hardware store on Main Street? Well, that's because Walmart moved in. That's an example of consolidation. While Walmart promises to deliver lower prices, what we see, especially in agricultural industries, grocery, etc., at every sort of, again, sub-industry within agriculture, is that this has been pushing overall prices up, especially when measured against inflation. In other words, there's price gouging going on because of consolidation. Senator, you care about this deeply. You've been following this deeply, and it is just getting worse, is it not?
It surely is getting worse, and quite frankly, it's wrong. So if you are going to grill a hamburger tonight or grill a steak, I want to let you know that while that beef may have come from the countryside in this, all over this nation, the thing is there are four meat packers in this country that dominate 80% of the marketplace. They are Tyson Foods, JBS, which is a Brazilian firm, Cargill, and then National Beef, which is also based in Brazil. Four large meat packing companies control 80% of all the beef that's slaughtered in this country. And I also ask you to envision an hourglass in which you have literally hundreds of thousands of independent family farmers, and then envision the bottom of that hourglass in which you have millions of consumers, and then you have four meat packers at the dead center of that hourglass. So everything gets run through there. I think it is so wrong. I mean, you want to talk about breaking down economics and not having real price discovery, as an economist would talk
yes.
about. If you want to talk about monopolistic practices like a lawyer would talk, or if you want to discuss antitrust, I believe that there needs to be a real thorough evaluation of what's happening. But again, this is a domestic marketplace and even an international marketplace, and it really is putting a squeeze on our family farmers, but also I would say on our consumers as well, because I think it restricts our choice. And that is why I pushed legislation, Maggie, in order to try and broaden this supply chain, make sure that we have more small town meat packing facilities. We call them locker plants out here in the countryside, where you can pull into a local meat packing place and buy your summer sausage or buy your pork chops, and it's all local. And so I'm very proud within the Evers administration, there has been more money that's gone to local meat processing. These are, you know, family-owned operations. They're on Main Street, and it's a win-win for our consumers as well, because we get greater choice and greater variety when it comes to the food products that we can purchase and eat and enjoy. But yes, the consolidation that's taking place in agriculture, it just leads to a ripple effect. And so what happens is that the larger these meat packers get, or the larger the more difficult it gets to be able to sell your product, your animal or your wheat or your grain, what happens is you yourself as a farmer need to get larger as far as purchase more land, and you consolidate. And again, that just leads to fewer and fewer independent entrepreneurs, family farmers on the countryside.
It was fascinating to me when you introduced the right to repair legislation back in February of this year. The then FTC chair, Lena Khan, came out and said, yeah, we've got a problem. John Deere is exerting an unreasonable and anti-competitive amount of control. Of course, Donald Trump has removed Lena Khan from the Federal Trade Commission, has gutted that organization, because consolidation feeds mega corporations, feeds the billionaire class, and that's who Donald Trump and the MAGAs are there to serve. They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords. Just a couple of facts for folks very briefly. Most economists will peg the consolidation in a market that creates anti-competitive, in other words, price increasing and locking out smaller businesses like family farms, at around 50, sometimes 55%. In almost every subcategory of the agricultural industry, we are well over 60. Cottonseed, beef processing, which you mentioned, corn seed, soybean crushing, nitrogen fertilizer, soybean seed, retail grocery, pork processing, wheat milling, agrochemical, agricultural machinery, and poultry processing. We have seen consolidation levels never before in our nation's history as we see right now. Thank you so much, State Senator Brad Pfaff of the great 23rd State Senate District. I can't wait to have you come back, talk Brewers, please. Brats, beer.
Let's talk Brewers.
And family farms. You. Yeah, real pleasure,
keep up
sir.
The great work, Maggie. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, sir. When we come back, we've got Sally Flores, a DACA recipient and the organizing director of the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition. We dig into Donald Trump's attacks on farms and the folks that work on them and what that means for you next here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin businessman Bill Berrien has announced his intent to run for governor in the 2026 election. He's now the second candidate to officially enter the race and will face off against Washington County Executive Josh Showman in the Republican primary. Berrien is a former Navy SEAL and the owner of Pindell Global Precision, a manufacturing business in New Berlin. No Democrats have officially entered the race thus far, but Governor Tony Evers says he will announce his decision on running for a third term within the next couple of weeks. Wisconsin Department of Transportation officials are sharing helpful safety tips for residents hauling recreational vehicles across the state this summer. DOT officials are reminding residents that hauled recreational vehicles like campers cannot be wider than 8.5 feet or taller than 13.5 feet. They are also required to follow all posted weight restrictions on roads and bridges across the state. Residents should remember to check the condition of their trailer and make sure everything is properly secured before hitting the road. Governor Tony Evers has announced the appointment of Jody Kumet as the new Barron County Sheriff. Kumet will serve the remainder of Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald's term through January of 2027 following his retirement last month. She has over 30 years of experience in law enforcement with the Wisconsin State Patrol, serving the Barron County community for the majority of her career. She retired from the State Patrol as a senior master trooper in March. Kumet will officially take over the role of Barron County Sheriff on July 28th. The Wisconsin State Patrol is advising Northwest Wisconsin residents that they will be conducting aerial enforcement in the region this week. The State Patrol's Air Support Unit will be patrolling Highway 64 in St. Croix County on Thursday and Highway 53 in Barron County on Friday. During aerial enforcement, law enforcement authorities will observe the highways from the air and report traffic violations to ground units below for traffic stops. The State Patrol shares the aerial enforcement details in advance in the hopes that drivers will voluntarily comply with traffic laws. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Despite mediocre reviews, Dinosaurs prevailed as box office champions over the 4th of July weekend. As expected, Jurassic franchise Rebirth, also known as Jurassic World Rebirth, was tops at the box office, pulling in $147 million domestically over the five-day weekend and $318 million worldwide. The film stars Scarlett Johansson and Mahershala Ali and some pretty impressive CGI dinosaurs. Coming in second place was the Brad Pitt-driven F1, which brought in $26 million and saw a somewhat respectable drop-off of 54% from the week before. How to Train Your Dragon came in third place with about $10 million in its fourth week of release. The family film is now at $224 million domestically, with well over a half a bill worldwide. Rounding out the top five were the Pixar film Elio with about $5 million Buku Dolores, and 28 years later came in fifth place with $4.6 million at the gate. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, slight storm chance, low, low 60s. For tomorrow, more humid, partly sunny, isolated storms, muggy highs in the low 80s. Near 80 Friday, scattered storms. Dry and pleasant as we look into the upcoming weekend. Currently at 79.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. Pat Kreitlow is along. We'll also talk to Rusty Volk, the fair director, and Eric Anderson of the U.S. Coupe Championship.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Wednesday hump day. It's 4:30. And that means it is time for Broad Appeal, where we talk to female elected officials, candidates, and other female political leaders from across the state about what they're doing to help us all have healthier communities everywhere in the state of Wisconsin. We've got one such amazing broad, and again, I use that word with deep reverential respect. I mean it with love and lift. Her name is Sally Flores. She is a DACA recipient and the organizing director of the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition. We often have our good friend Nick Ramos on. So it's such a pleasure to have you on, Sally, and to talk about these incredible, important work of the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition and how folks can get directly involved. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Earlier, I accidentally told someone, I'm going to be on Broad City. And they were so excited. They were like, this show? I was like, no, sorry, Broad Appeal. So I'm so delighted to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Broad City, here we come with some snacks up for sure. I really appreciate you being here. So the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition is having local, basically like listening session, hearings, if you will, about trying to work towards independent redistricting. Tell us about this and how people can get involved.
Yeah, so for the last, I want to say 2 years, a group of dedicated women through the League of Women Voters statewide, the redistricting committee there, consulted with experts from all over the nation. Simone Leeper from Campaign Legal Center, Katie Fahey, Executive Director of the People. So just amazing broads, amazing women who were doing this work nationally. And we studied for, almost 2 years, what should go into an independent redistricting commission in Wisconsin? What should the Wisconsin model be? And we feel like we might be ready for, this is a draft proposal. This hasn't, gone anywhere else besides our Zoom rooms and our and Google Docs and Word Docs and PDFs. And so we're bringing it out into the light. And so we are doing that by hosting community hearings. We just had our first one in Whitefish Bay on the 28th. We have one in Dodgeville the 13th. We have one in Green Bay on the 16th. And we have one in Wausau on the 17th. These are all co-hosted by the League of Women Voters and other amazing partners. And our goal is to receive feedback on what should go on an independent redistricting proposal.
Let's just set a baseline for folks. When we say independent redistricting, what is that, and how is it a change from the way things work right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, thanks for bringing me back to the ground. I've been in the air for so long. So an IRC is just a citizen-led, and it's distinct from the legislature. It's not controlled by representatives of any political party, and it's crafted and created for the purpose of drawing state legislative and congressional district lines away from any political party. This allows the IRC to have authority to draw and consider and propose maps to the legislature for enactment. That doesn't mean that legislative officials can't propose their own maps. It just means that they need to conform with redistricting criteria that includes all of Wisconsin, that includes all of the people that reflect our beautiful state.
It's so important. And I was with Milwaukee County in as their general counsel in 2020 and going into 2021, where Milwaukee County tried the first ever in the county independent redistricting committee. Now, there are different ways of doing this. Michigan is often held up as a really extraordinary example of that. The county's independent redistricting for Milwaukee was done with a panel of retired judges. But other redistricting committees include citizens and other folks that haven't, in many ways, served officially or formally in an elected or other office. That's what you're proposing. That's what the Fair Maps Coalition is pushing, is for actual citizen involvement as well as subject matter experts. This is super complicated. It requires geocoded maps and all kinds of stuff. But so with the support of experts, but to have citizens directly involved in that redistricting process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and doing this work because, I mean, we know our communities best. We know where every pothole is in the city. Yes. We know whether to, you know, swerve left or right. Like, we literally do know these roads and we know our people best. And what better way than to give this power back to the people? There's a quote in Spanish that says, "El pueblo salva al pueblo," which basically means people save the people. And that's exactly what we're trying to do.
And that's where we're at, I think, very broadly, is people standing up to save the people. So folks, if you want to hear and join some of these redistricting hearings, independent redistricting committee hearings sponsored by the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition, we're going to put the website that has all of those upcoming events, the link to that so you can RSVP and attend. We'll put that in our show notes. Remember, you can find our shows podcasted and these show notes that have all kinds of resources for you on Spotify, Apple Pods, and of course at civicmedia.us. Let's talk about this idea of people standing up for people, because what I have been witnessing since Donald Trump has taken office for the second time around is people starting to stand up for people and folks that are immigrants that may be here undocumented, that folks that are citizens standing up for those people shoulder to shoulder, because we have to understand that if we don't stand up for basic human dignity and the civil rights that are guaranteed under this Constitution to every person, not restricted to citizens, that all of our rights are under threat. You, Sully, have an incredibly unique perspective. For folks that may not remember what DACA is, let's start there. This was an Obama-era program. Tell people what DACA is.
Yeah, so DACA worked for about 4 years before Donald Trump, during his first term, shut it down, and then Biden never reinstated it. So there was only about a four-year window for 800,000 people to apply to this executive order, which to me, it's just a Netflix subscription to the U.S. I have to pay it every 2 years. And I did the math. And so we're paying about $428 million to the Department of Homeland Security and USCIS every time we reapply every 2 years, if all collectively we apply at the same time. And it's just it's a ridiculous amount of money. And we can't leave the country. We have to pay our taxes. This only allows us a driver's license. And in some states like Texas, it's being taken away. So you can't even apply to work anymore with DACA. It's just giving you a driver's license. And it really doesn't keep us safe from deportation, because when we fill out the application, one of the questions is like, are you okay with being deported? Like, we have no choice but to like just say yes if we want this quote unquote work permit that just allows us to subscribe to the U.S. every 2 years. And it was, unfortunately, then there were no new applicants accepted under Trump. Biden never instated new applicants as well. And now under the current Trump regime, they're trying to get rid of it as well. It's sitting in the courts somewhere. I couldn't even tell you. It's always been in the courts since its inception. So it's been a lot of back and forth battles. And we just recently celebrated the 13th year anniversary of DACA and what that means. And there are 7,000 DACA recipients in the state of Wisconsin. You know, you can't quote me because it's not a census and we can't figure that out all the way. But mathematically speaking, there are more students graduating high school that are undocumented now than ever before. because they no longer qualify for this program. So really, a lot of us are no longer dreamers. A lot of us are no longer students. We're working, we're directors in positions of power and trying to do better. And we're just constantly paying to the subscription to the US and hoping that if they end the program, that at least whatever I paid into Social Security will go to the people.
Folks, that is Sally Flores. She herself is a DACA recipient, a dreamer, if you will, began in that program as a young person, as a student, and now helps lead as the organizing director of the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition. So to be really clear here, Sally, our guest this afternoon, is fighting for your right to be heard fairly in our voting system while she herself cannot benefit from that very system, while she and every other dreamer pays in hundreds of millions of dollars in fees and taxes into our government every year. You recently were the recipient of the Emerging Leader Award at the 54th Annual Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee, which, first of all, I want to give a shout out to the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee. It is an incredible organization. You gave some remarks there where you shared that you recently went home to see your folks in Mexico and that you're basically anticipating not being able to see either of your parents, at least for the next 4 years. Can you tell us a little bit about what these last 9 months have been like for you, Sally, as you watch Donald Trump use some of the most horrifying racist language, secure himself a second term, and now deploy the military in American cities for the right to disappear people in the middle of the night without the due process guaranteed to all persons by our Constitution?
Yeah, so I sprung into action. I think my parents self-deported in 2018 during the first Trump era, and I hadn't seen them, and I hadn't spent Christmas back home or New Year's in 22 years. And so, I mean, if you any of you want to join my parents in their land, they'll pick you up from the airport, we'll travel 4 hours away, and the smell, the sounds, everything just feels free. So I was able to feel free for the first time in so long. And the most beautiful sunsets over the most beautiful pine trees, it's just unbelievable. And it almost feels like a dream that I was there. And it also feels like a dream that's been taken away from me all over again. I reapplied for advanced parole because I got hired to be a program assistant for the University of Arizona, who's doing international studies. And although I was hired, I have to apply to USCIS, pay a fee to go to Mexico, and I haven't been approved. And tomorrow's the deadline. And if I don't get approved by tomorrow by USCIS, then I won't be able to go to Mexico anytime soon. And so I'm knowing that that's my reality. I realize that they've taken everything away from me, that they've took away my fear. And so I just hit the streets, and I joined a group called Comité Sin Fronteras, where we host verifier trainings, MigraWatch verifier trainings. So anybody in Milwaukee that wants to be trained on how to verify ICE presence, how to call it in, how to help somebody locate their family once they get picked up, we're offering these trainings the first and the third Saturday of every month at the Voces de la Frontera office on 7th and Mitchell. We've trained 150 people to become verifiers in Milwaukee. We've gotten 130 calls in the month of June alone for ICE verification. We were able to find the man that was actually framed and that was told he threatened the president, and we found that that was false.
Yes.
And so we're doing great work.
We covered that here on Civic Media. Folks, that is Sally Flores. She's the organizing director of Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition. She fights for your right to be heard in our government, though she does not enjoy that right herself. We're going to talk about the emotional journey and how you conquer your fear, how you get activated, because that's what we all have to do. It is by and of and for the people. This great conversation continues on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
My perfect day has sand, salt, water, and friends. But my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can take me out of the moment. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, most people saw 90% clearer skin, and many were even 100% plaque-free at 4 months. Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin. And that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had some, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, sure, you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're in the 4:30 half hour, and it is Wednesday, and that means it is Broad Appeal. Our special guest this afternoon is Celi Flores. She is a DACA recipient and the organizing director of the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition. You're not going to want to go anywhere, because at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, I'll be joined by Crystal Potts. She's the Senior Director of State Relations and Statewide Outreach for the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And she's going to help us understand exactly how UW-Madison in particular helps contribute to our state's entire economy. Every single of our 72 counties benefits from our state's flagship university. We're going to talk about these proposed tuition increases, what all that means in the context of the biennial budget. But let's return to our conversation with Celi. The personal toll, like the stress of all of this, seems quite overwhelming. I think all of us who have been super engaged, and even people who are engaged from time to time, every time you check in with the news, it's like, oh, what fresh hell is this? And this is incredibly personal. This is your family. This is you as a dreamer. How do you maintain your energy? How do you stay engaged when it seems to be just unrelenting bad news?
I honestly just look towards my community. I look towards the people that are doing this work. I look towards the people who have, again, nothing to lose. And everything, you know, we've already lost everything. So we're just going to defend whatever's left. It's also a wake-up call to folks who maybe have not gotten involved as much. It's like, hello, here's what we're offering. We're offering Know Your Rights trainings. We're offering this draft proposal on independent redistricting commission, so we have something to do. We're offering you how to be a Migra Watch verifier. We're offering you how to learn to do court accompaniments. Like, this is what the undocumented community is offering you. What are you willing to pick up and do? And what are you willing to risk as well? Because a lot of this is, you know, we don't have time to take calculated risks. Every time we do, we're affected by something else. So any work that we do, we know there's a big risk factor involved.
That's the thing that I keep wanting folks that may be on the sidelines to understand. And that is people like you, Sally, who are out there every day advocating for people's rights and for your own rights and dignities, right? Hey, if Sally can do this, if you can find that energy, if you can link into community, everybody has a place in this fight. And I don't mean on partisan lines, right? I mean, this is about every single one of us. I often will say on this program that we each individually only have the rights that we stand up for whomever is at, quote, the bottom rung, right? The way that we treat folks who get lambasted and scapegoated, their rights define the entirety of each of our rights. And so this moment is not a partisan moment. It's a moment for human dignity and standing up for those promises made in our founding documents. Again, we've got you've got hearings coming up with the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition for these redistricting committees. You can find out more about them. We're going to have that website, but you can go to fairmapswi, all one word, .com. There is one coming up on Sunday, July 13th in Dodgeville, on July 16th. That's a Wednesday in Green Bay, 17th, Thursday in Wausau, Waukesha in August. So go check that out. Get involved. Find out what independent redistricting is about, because in my mind, Sally, this is unlocking the power of the people to choose our representatives and not our representatives to choose the voters that they want to ensure that they're in office in perpetuity. And so, and it's interesting because tomorrow we're going to have Republican State Representative Duke Tucker on this program because he introduced a term limits bit of legislation, which I said, hear. It's something that I've been squawking about for a long time. That term limits are good for people. I think turnover in government is a good thing. So we've got some fresh ideas and perspective, and people don't feel like they're entitled to these seats in perpetuity. When it comes to the work of the Fair Maps Coalition, Sally, what do you want people to know? That is, obviously, we're talking about redistricting. Obviously, we will always talk about that. What do you want people to know? Why is it so important for people to pay attention to that process, which, it's just 5 years from now when we're going to be doing this again?
Yeah, I mean, if folks care about healthcare, if folks care about public education, if folks care about affordable in-state tuition or just tuition in general, if folks care about representatives that look like them, that they want folks to be in office that actually represent them, an independent redistricting commission is the way. It's the way of the people. It's citizen-led, and it means that we finally get to elect people that reflect our values. And it just adds a layer of friendly competition, and it allows us to be more democratic in our values. It's impossible to make democracy sexy, so I don't know how to sell it any more than we should care. And we should vote if we can, and we should be out in these streets if we're able.
I don't know, Sally. I might have to push back on you, because having your voice heard and being able to express that, knowing that your elected official is actually accountable to you because we have fairly drawn maps. That is damnedly sexy. If people do not like the gridlock in D.C. or the intransigence sometimes that we find in our state house in Madison, the key, the power lies with you and demanding fair maps through independent redistricting. Hats off to you, Sally, for all of your incredible work, as well as your braveness in sharing your bravery and sharing your and your family's personal story. I lift you up and applaud you. I see you and we value you. Folks, when we come back, we'll be joined by Crystal Potts, Senior Director of Outreach for the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Why our state's flagship university matters in your community.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Texas, at least 119 have died following the July 4th flash floods, and 170 are still missing. ABC News has learned the city of Kerrville recently approved a contract for a system to help monitor water levels along the Guadalupe River. Here's ABC's John Santucci.
Back in April, residents and officials down in Kerrville had actually entertained a proposal from a company for a little over $70,000 to install a siren system. Today, ABC News has learned that just last month, that contract was signed, executed, ready to go, and a kickoff meeting with that company to begin the process of installing the sirens was set to begin the middle of this month.
President Trump signaled Israel and Hamas are getting closer to finalizing a possible Gaza ceasefire deal. New tariff letters sent out to a half a dozen countries today. President Trump warning that those tariffs will kick in if deals aren't made by August 1st. This is ABC News.